Welcome back to Bowl Droppings. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host AJ Torres. We're going to recap another week of Texans football with you. Look forward to this week's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Let's look back at last week for just a second now. Obviously, we had short week playing on Thursday night football, probably our only primetime chance this year. Sam Darnold came in, he threw for over 300 yards against our secondary. Not a good thing. Christian McCaffrey went out. Also not a good thing. Davis Mills had one touchdown pass, but otherwise really struggled to get into any rhythm. It's kind of funny. In week two, you were 1 point off of the correct prediction for the final score. This week, it was me who was only 1 point off. I had 24-10, end up being 24-9 because of the missed extra point. Things happen, is what it is.
Yes, indeed.
Yep, so it looks like we're not going to have Tyrod Taylor for a little while longer. And things don't get any easier this week as we take on the Buffalo Bills.
That's pain.
Indeed it is. But looking back at week three for just a minute, the secondary really looked vulnerable. DJ Moore was having all kinds of success, went for 126 receiving yards. Could have had a lot more if it wasn't for one deep pass that was just off his fingertips. Would have probably made the score a little bit more lopsided, but I think both of us pretty much saw what was going to happen in this game, that we'd have thought the Texans were going to struggle to get into any rhythm against the Carolina defense, and that's pretty much what happened. Just that pass rush was all over Davis Mills, and run game was not a significant contributor.
No, that the run game was absolutely atrocious. And the fact that your leading rusher on six carries gets 21 yards and the biggest average carry is 5.5 yards, it was just not great. Now, Brandon Cooks had himself a game, 9 catches, 112 yards. I mean, that's big for any game. I don't care who the defense is or who the quarterback is. That's a great game for a wide receiver, however you look at it. And, of course, as you can imagine, Zach Cunningham was all over the place tackling. Kirksey was tackling. But I always said this. Now, everyone's kind of saying to themselves, it was a 7-6 game at halftime. What happened? Well, if the offense can't get into rhythm all game long, what's going to happen to the defense?
Gets
worn out. It's
going to
get tired. It's going to run out of gas. And if you think it's going to be able to just keep up the pace all game, you're dead wrong. Everyone gets tired. The offense adjusts. They're rolling. They're going to keep going better and better and better and better. They're going to just stomp all over them like stairs. Now, I did, if you remember, we did say Davis Mills, 200 yards under or over. I said under. 19 for 28, 168 yards. Majority of them coming from Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to go over to the loss of things like Andre Roberts, the change of momentum of the whole game. I'm not going off on things like that. I'm not nitpicking. This was a cut and dry, you know, open and shut case. This was the better team. The defense was going to be a problem. And even with Christian McCaffrey hurt, it's just still a threat. The Carolina Panthers are good. That is just the bottom line.
Yep.
Now, as far as Davis Mills goes, now, just for anyone out there, there's only one win for all rookie quarterbacks this year. And that one win was Mac Jones against the Jets. Outside that, right, which is basically a participation trophy. So far this year, it's a participation trophy, a gimme in golf, a freebie. There hasn't been a win other than that for rookie quarterbacks. That is including Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, and Justin Fields. And that is scary if you think about it. Absolutely horrific for the future going on. I mean, how else can you just slice it and dice it? As far as what needs to be worked on this team, again, I don't think that the pass rush was awful. Again, you had a great team just playing very well against the team. I'm not going to say as bad as rebuilding. And if you want to know how many times the Texans punted, it was 6 times. It's a lot. But with Fairburn off the IR, we'll see if that motivates the offense to get anything done. And hopefully the Barflies are done from Davis Mills, but they're playing Buffalo.
Right. I was just looking this up. I know that we were more bullish on the Texans secondary than any other unit on the team. They're actually 23rd in the NFL right now in passing yards allowed. The run defense has actually been better. And I just think the pass rush is just not getting there enough. They're letting too many big plays happen on the back end. We saw it against Cleveland. Obviously saw it against
Yeah,
Carolina, and
the
with
quarterback
Buffalo
has
coming in,
time.
oh, it does not give me a good feeling because we
Well,
watched Buffalo absolutely tear apart the Washington defense a week ago,
yeah.
and I'm just like, ugh.
Also, if you go by average time the quarterback takes to get rid of the ball, Baker Mayfield is actually takes the longest in the NFL by average. It goes by X amount of snaps, but he takes the longest to throw the ball on average. So even then, it was a no contest for Cleveland for the most part. The pass rush isn't getting there, and then the secondary has to be on the guys like glue. And with the Fugazi referee calling nowadays, you gotta be careful because otherwise there's gonna be yellow laundry out there. It's frustrating seeing these games. And the fact that Buffalo is gonna be coming in, I mean, is brutal the word, or is it just a scorcher? Is it going to be an absolute bomb dropped on them? Buffalo at home.
I'm not sure how many more cliches you could have fit into that, but it doesn't look like it's going to be pretty. Now, we all know about the Buffalo offense, what Josh Allen and those guys can do. They can put up a lot of points. You look at their defense so far, they're fourth in the league with only 252.7 yards per game allowed. You look over at points, 14.7, which is also fourth in the league. Now, granted, it's 3 games, very small sample here, and shutting out Miami 35-0 in week two certainly helps. You look at the other 2 games, they allowed 23 to Pittsburgh and then 21 to Washington, though Washington's last touchdown was pretty much academic at that point, didn't really have much effect on the outcome of the game.
No.
And it was Taylor Heineke, the backup quarterback, who was in there. So I'm not saying that this Buffalo defense is some elite unit. I think their stats are a little skewed at this point. But you do look at them, they have a very fast defensive line. Have Ed Oliver, former University of Houston product, defensive tackle, leading a pretty swift rush that we got there. Again, this does not look to bode well for Davis Mills if he's not going to get the ball out quickly. Brandon Cooks, I do wonder if some of his numbers are just because he's not having much competition so far for passes and the quarterbacks are looking his way more than they usually would because they don't trust the other threats on the outside.
I mean, if you look at it, man, I mean, Davis Mills threw for 168 yards. 112 went to Cooks. Now, obviously, he's the veteran receiver there. And as far as experience, as far as trust, he's the guy. I mean, the fact that the second biggest receiver was Jordan Akins. I mean, come on, 32 yards off 5 targets.
Yeah, that's not very good.
He's the bread and butter for now, and who's going to step up to be that next wide receiver? I mean, who is it going to be? Is it just design plays for Brandon Cooks, the all-star on this team, to get the ball every play? I mean, this isn't peewee football.
No, it is not.
I'm not going to question David Culley on this, because we have no idea if it's a quarterback comfort thing or the way the plays are designed. So I will give it the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if you're a fantasy football owner, the fact that Brandon Cooks wasn't even on the radar for a lot of people in the draft, I mean, you got him as a deep bench guy. Same thing with his teammate Randall Cobb. But I mean, we shall see. I mean, there's definitely not enough film to go off of, in my opinion. But
Actually,
it's gonna
I
get down
did
soon.
take Cooks in fantasy because of the what you're describing. I thought he's going to have quarterbacks looking his way a lot this year. And let's just throw in for the record that he is third in the league in receiving yards with 322 through three games. I know I might sound a little
Actually,
negative, but he is having a very good year. Let's
not
not
only that, but
talk.
if you remember, but there was a lot of talk on what his trade value was. So let's say you get an offer tomorrow, right? And think about it. You have a wide receiver who is third in the NFL in receiving. Now, he's not sticking out in highlights like Ja'Marr Chase has so far this year. But if you go by a guy where it's just like, I mean, if you want to go with, oh, I just need a body, there's so many guys that can run and catch. I mean, come on. Danny Amendola's on the team. You could take out the hometown Johnny card from Nick Caserio, but that's inevitable. But I mean, the way that Brandon Cooks is going, 1,000 yards is going to be a snap. Now, I know there's the extra week, but still, there's a lot of wide receivers that don't get 1,000 yards with a snap of the fingers. So far, Cooks is on pace to do so.
Oh, yeah, it would only take him 10 games to get there.
About that. So, I mean, the trade value for him actually seems like it could be apparent, because I have no idea about him coming back next year. But the way that they're bringing wide receivers in, I mean, they traded for Cobb, and I get that, and they basically gave the Packers a bone. But if Brandon Cooks gets traded out of here, basically all you have is a bunch of young guys and a bunch of, I want to say bargain bin free agency sign-ins, but I got called as it is. Not saying that they're not talented, but when you hear the names, it was okay, let's go to the bargain store and let's produce.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much got that right. They were not shelling out big bucks for journeymen like Chris Connolly, who had a fairly respectable week one, but, has failed to keep it up since then. I'm kind
He's
of
failed to
with
get
you
tar
on that, that.
to get targeted. Like Chris Conley had one target and that was it.
But yeah, someone might make the Texans an offer that they can't refuse for Cooks later in the year. And at this point, you're in a rebuild. You might be wise to take it.
It
I don't
might
know
be
what
a
could
it might be
happen.
a
Maybe a
quick
second
deal as well.
rounder, a second, third.
I mean, with everything that's been going on, I mean, the fact that Shaq got traded for a six, and I thought you could have gotten a fourth or higher, a third or a fourth pick. We'll see what Cooks goes for, but I mean, they're going to be like, oh, well, his contract, blah, 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 will give you a third round. Well, listen, whatever you can do, take him, but as long as you have the place and the plan in mind. And I hate to say it, but Culley came here for a rebuild, as did Caserio. And these two don't have any attachments to these guys here. So, again, trade deadline comes. If Tunsil and Cooks is on the block, I'm not opposed. As far as other business goes, though, let's address the elephant in the room. And I hate the Raiders, but Wow,
Right.
man. Hey, damn it. It shouldn't have been that close of a game with the Miami Dolphins with Teddy Biscuit playing quarterback because Tua is on, should be on the IR with ribs. Should be. So with that said, everyone's saying, hey, what's going on, Casario? Houston, we have a problem. The Dolphins want a prenup for Deshaun Watson. Listen, sign the prenup and get the job done already, because if you don't want to throw this window out, I mean, here's my thought. This is Coach Brian Flores' third year. Now, I like Coach Flo as a coach. Now, even though when he wears a hat, I confuse him for Kevin Durant. That's beside the point.
Right.
In his third year as a head coach in the NFL, he has a little bit of pressure on him. Now, I'm not saying that his seat is incredibly warm. I'm not saying
No.
that. But it's gonna start getting to the point where I think if you're Coach Brian Flores, you want to see some results. Now, we haven't seen it from Tua, and he's been hurt, and Jacoby Brissett, outside a couple games in New England, he really hasn't had the opportunity to just prove himself. Now, he had everybody in Miami cheer him on when he was going up against the Raiders, and that should have been a Raider game all day long. It really should have.
Yep.
But to give him credit, he had the Watson trade become not desperate for another week.
It's true.
So I'm assuming that you give it another week or two. I mean, I say we have until the deadline, otherwise we're gonna have nothing until those court cases start happening around February. It's gonna be amazing because before even the free agency period or the draft combine talks, the only NFL news that's gonna get them by is really it's gonna be Super Bowl talks and Deshaun's cases.
Yep.
Dread, dr it's it sounds dreadful. It really does.
Yep.
But so is wearing that dolphin green.
Okay, then. Thank you for listening to the annual Miami Dolphins segment of this show. Annual, weekly. You get the point.
Your weekly subscription.
Correct. But now let's get back into this week's matchup. I talked about a little bit earlier how the Buffalo defense, they've performed well, and Houston's offense is kind of vanilla right now. Let's just put it that way. There doesn't seem like there's a ton of sophistication. The defense, Texans defense, at least they try. They get after you, but obviously, the lack of talent in places becomes apparent. We've gotten good linebacker play. We've got some decent play against the run. But yeah, against a Buffalo team that's built on a ton of speed, has all kinds of playmakers that can hurt you. I really don't see this game being all that close. And for Brandon Cooks, you're going to be seeing a lot of Tre'Davious White this week. I don't know that he's going to have as big of a game. Maybe he'll find the end zone, but I don't know what else. He's definitely not going long on Tre'Davious White. He might get some targets underneath, and maybe in from the red zone he could get a touchdown, but that's about it. I don't see Cooks having a massive game this week.
I as if he's on my fantasy team, I'd be sitting him. I really would. You have to.
Yeah, he is one of the guys I drafted in a PPR league. In the first few weeks, he's been absolutely fantastic. I was down between him and T. Higgins in week one. I decided to start Cooks. And ever since then, I'm like, yeah, he's a must start. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, and Higgins is doubtful this week again. So I mean, if you gotta toss those guys again, you gotta go with the guy who's healthy. But if you had a choice between him and somebody else, I would take the other guy. And it just amazes me, right? Because when I said Davis Mills underneath 200 yards, it wasn't a lack of skill on Davis Mills that I was referring to. It was just, hey, even in garbage time, this defense is going to play it tight. And some people are saying, hey, well, they let DJ Moore run all over him. Listen, if you remember the last couple of years for DJ Moore, quarterback play not being consistent, everything like that. If you look at one of those guys where it's like he's a top 10 wide receiver and you could rank him higher if he had a better quarterback, Allen Robinson and DJ Moore are going to that category because their quarterbacks have not been proven great and they've just fumbled around. They've had a different guy. It's not like Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill where they've had one guy and he's just phenomenal.
Right.
DJ Moore is a good wide receiver, a top 10 in my opinion. So I could easily let that one go. But when you see a Buffalo come up, basically when you go to Buffalo, you saw these wide receivers wake up against Washington. We didn't hear much from Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders up until last week, and they just kind of said, hey, I have arrived. Cole Beasley, over 100 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, two touchdowns. We didn't see it coming, and we didn't see the Washington defense be that bad. But guess what? The pass rush didn't do as good as they thought they could, and the secondary can only keep up for so long. It's just how it goes. Josh Allen is paid like a top three for a reason.
That is certainly true. So, with that in mind, let's give our predicted scores for this weekend's game. I think this one is going to be a particularly long game for the Texans. I'm going to say 34 to 10.
I was gonna go 35-13.
Well, it looks like we are kind of in the same place then.
I mean, this one, it just sucks because we had data analysis matchups, but this is a legit Super Bowl contender, and there's nothing for us to compare apples to apples with. This is more of a grapefruit or a watermelon compared to a little crab apple. The giant fish in the ocean that are predators versus the cute thing you catch in a pond. I mean, this is just bloody awful. I mean, when I compared notes and I was just going week to week and I'm going like this and I'm like next week's opponent. Oh, ah, crap. That's how I felt.
Yeah, but you know what they say, any given Sunday. And the way this team's playing, I think they're not going to make it easy. They're not just going to roll over, but obviously the Bills have more talent and they're going to be favored by a lot for good reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about sums it up for me. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, the final thoughts I have going on for this week, I think the Houston fans this week would rather watch a Rockets game. That they wish they would be watching baseball as well. This is not going to be a good week for Houston, not a good weekend for Houston sports. Let's put it that way.
Well, the Astros are atop their division, and I guess the regular season ends and they'll be going into the playoffs. And they'll see the White Sox in the ALDS, but we are getting kind of off topic right now.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know it's kind of gloomy this week as
Kind of.
Bills come into town, but hopefully we can talk about some bright spots. And honestly, we're just looking for improvement at this point. We got to
Yep.
trust the process. But we're not trading for Ben Simmons.
Ah, man, that was good. That was good. Although, is there a chance that there's
I wonder if Ben Simmons would actually make a decent tight end, though. You wouldn't force him to get a jump shot.
but don't you have to have hops if you receive the ball?
Well, isn't He's 6'9", I think. 6'10". You're telling me he can't go play tight end? Granted, I don't know if he'd get broken in the first quarter of a game.
I think you'd have to, because if you remember, right, LeBron James went on a couple of shows, and he said that he was talking with Jerry Jones, I know, but also the Seattle Seahawks, and this was during the NBA lockout. And, you know, I just kind of think about it, right? LeBron James, a guy that is less than 3% body fat, very built when there's a lot of guys, particularly when you see these freshmen coming out of college, going into the draft. It's like, hey, I'm 6 foot six. I'm 170 pounds. These guys are rails. And when you see LeBron James and his build, and the fact that him and his trainer were going through exercises to potentially add a couple more pounds on him to potentially play tight end, what a lot of people would assume. My only thing about Ben Simmons is if we had to compare apples to apples with his body and the game of football, he would have to do a lot to his body to change that. Do I think he'd be able to catch the rock? Absolutely. But I just think for a tight end, he would be undersized, kind of like Kyle Pitts and Evan Ingram, if he add a couple more pounds, though. A guy who's tall, a guy who could take a hit, and a guy who could catch the ball and do what you got to do. But can he stay in bounds? Can he go across the middle? That's always up for debate. But would he be in the red zone a liability like he is inside the three-point line with the ball? Probably so.
Well, I mean, the only thing about him as a tight end would just be you have to just throw it up, and he could probably get it. His biggest problem I see would be dealing with jams at the line of scrimmage, because, you know, if you have a linebacker like Anthony Barr from the Vikings or someone like that who gets up within the first 5 yards and jams him, could he work off of that? That would be his biggest problem. Now, if he's going against a corner who's 5'10", well, obviously you take that matchup any day.
Well, yeah, you just kind of like...
You'd get him, but yeah, I don't think any NFL defensive coordinator would be that stupid.
You just put one hand, you push him against the face mask, and you catch it with the other hand because his hands are so big. Although I will say this, he's got better hops and better hands than Corey Davis.
Indeed. Well, that was a interesting way to end the show. Not something I exactly planned, but
same.
Detours are fun sometimes. So once again, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and check us out on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.